Brothers and sisters, Jai Bhim. I'm very glad indeed to at last have come to Goa. Most Europeans start in Goa and then explore the rest of India. But I've been coming to India for nearly 20 years and this is my first visit. And I've come to Goa not to lie on the beach, but to try to help with Dr. Baba Saheb Ambedkar's great work. And I'm very glad indeed to have this opportunity to speak to you today. I know that all of you, or at least most of you, are followers of Dr. Baba Saheb Ambedkar. And there's some quite serious points that I want to raise with you today. And I hope that in raising these questions with you, raising these issues with you, I can stimulate us all to work harder and more effectively in the great work that Baba Saheb undertook. If you're a follower of Baba Saheb, that means that you want to see a truly just and free society. That's what Baba Saheb gave his whole life for. He saw an India that was divided by caste. He saw an India that was restricted by caste. He saw an India that had enormous potential, but that potential was held back by caste. And especially Baba Saheb saw that so many millions of people, crores of people, suffered from the oppression of caste. And he had a vision of an India in which caste had disappeared. An India in which liberty, equality and fraternity were enjoyed by all Indian citizens. I'm sure this is a vision that we all share. If you call yourself a follower of Baba Saheb, this will be what you want for all Indian citizens. So we come together in that great vision. Okay. I'm afraid my translator has a bad cold, so I have to be gentle with him. And there's a great question that arises for us all who are followers of Baba Saheb at this time. Baba Saheb died in 1956. And that was one of the great tragedies of modern history. His work was only partly done. And he was taken from us at the point when we needed him most. And in 2 years' time, we'll be commemorating the 50th anniversary of Baba Saheb's passing. So we need to think, what have we achieved in those 50 years? What more is there to do? Where do we stand right now? But there's a question I feel that especially we need to confront more fully. The 14th of October 1956 was the date on which Babasaheb embraced the Buddha Dhamma. Just 6 weeks later or so, he passed away. So we need to think, well, why did Babasaheb convert to Buddhism? What is the reason for which he converted fulfilled? I think that this question confronts both those of us who are Buddhists and those of us who are not Buddhists. Those of us who are Buddhists need to think, well, have we done enough to communicate the Dhamma to others? And what more can we do to communicate the Dhamma? Those of us who are not Buddhists and are followers of Babasaheb, we need to ask, well, why did Babasaheb convert? And should we not think about conversion? These are the questions I'd like to share with you today. And I'd like to invite you to consider these questions quite seriously. And I want quite briefly to say why I understand Babasaheb converted. And then you can think about that, and perhaps we can have some questions and answers afterwards. To me, this is the most important question for followers of Babasaheb. Why did he convert? Are those reasons yet fulfilled? Well, I think there are really three reasons why Babasaheb converted. First of all, Babasaheb, I think, converted for very strong reasons of personal devotion to the Buddha Dhamma. Very early in his life, he seems to have made a strong connection with the Buddha. And all through his life, he seems to have been drawn to the Buddha Dhamma. And he made it quite clear that his own conversion to the Buddha Dhamma was for strong personal spiritual reasons. He saw in the Buddha his teacher. He saw in the Dhamma the truth which he wished to follow. The Buddha Dhamma is the answer to our personal spiritual longings. If we want to find happiness in this life, the Buddha Dhamma can offer it to us. The Buddha Dhamma can show us how to live a truly good and fulfilling life. It can lead to strong feelings of satisfaction and happiness that one is leading the right life. And this was a strong motivation for Babasaheb. He was a man who cared deeply for truth. All his life he stood for truth. All his life he was prepared to stand out alone and fight for truth. And he found the deepest truth in the Buddha Dhamma. So that's the first reason why Babasaheb converted. a strong personal attraction to the Buddha Dhamma. And we know how meaningful his conversion was to him. He spoke of his tremendous feelings of happiness and freedom after his conversion. So, yes, that is the first reason for his conversion. And it's a reason that applies to all of us. What the Dhamma gave to Baba Sahib, it can give to each of us. The Dhamma can answer our deepest spiritual longings, just as it did Baba Sahib. So what about the second reason? Well, we know that Baba Sahib, from his earliest days, was a leader of the oppressed people of India. Not just the community from which he came in Maharashtra, but all the scheduled castes, all the depressed castes of India. And he struggled all his life to help them to gain rights and freedom. Baba Sahib realized that people suffered very much from a sense of inferiority, a sense of lack of confidence. For thousands of years, they've been treated as the lowest of the low. That terrible system of oppression, his caste, had condemned them to that status. He tried to reform the old religious system. He asked that system to change. I've just been to Nashik and I've just seen the Kalaram temple there. Baba Sahib wasn't allowed to go in there. Nowadays, I, a foreigner from beyond the Kalipani, I can go in there. But Baba Sahib wasn't allowed in. They wouldn't open it up. He couldn't get that old system to change. And he realized that the oppression of caste was buried deep within that system. So he eventually decided, and it took many years to do this, that he had to get away from that system. And he looked for something else. He had a very strong feeling that a human being needs a religious purpose. He realized that a life without a dhammic purpose is not a human life. So he looked at all the great religions of the world, and he looked especially for those religions that preached equality. And he found in the Buddha Dhamma, the great religious tradition that was had central to it the idea of equality. So he offered that to his people. He said, leave behind the system that has condemned you to a lowly status. Leave behind the customs and the beliefs that make you feel an inferior person. Take on the religion that treats you as a human being with every bit of as much potential as every other human being. So he invited everybody to join the Buddha Dhamma. The Buddha Dhamma teaches fundamentally that each and every human being has the potential to become a Buddha. Every man has that potential, every woman has that potential. Every rich person has that potential, every poor person has that potential. Every educated person has that potential, every uneducated person has that potential. Well, in fact, the Buddha couldn't read, so education is not a matter. But the Buddha Dhamma teaches that every one of us has the same spiritual potential. If we can only work in the Buddha Dhamma, we can achieve that potential. So when we greet each other as Buddhists, we see each other as potentially Buddhas. We've got the same material, each and every one of us. What we make of that material is up to us. We're not condemned by some god to some status. Our karma isn't restricting us. It's up to us. What we are is what we make of ourselves. So in converting to the Buddha Dhamma, one leaves behind the old caste status and one becomes a human being with the highest human destiny. So that's the second reason why Baba Sahib converted. It was to give those who in the old system were downtrodden a new dignity and pride and confidence. And I've seen the enormous influence this has had. I've seen in Maharashtra the way in which people from those communities have gained dignity and pride and confidence. Casteism still exists. We know this very well. This is something difficult for me coming from Europe really to understand. We don't have caste in England. We've got our own problems, but not caste. The only caste we got is that which Indians bring to England when they come and settle there. We don't have that mentality. And so I can't really understand it. But you know, somebody says, that person, he's from such and such a caste. And I look, I think, just looks like a human being to me. And they say, his name's Kumble. He must be... Well, his name's Joshi. He must be, well, we know what, yeah. But all this doesn't mean anything to me. Well, we can see what he does with his rice, which community he comes from, when he eats his rice. I don't understand all this. I'm blind to caste. But I don't want to understand caste. I think caste is a terrible system. There's much that I love in India, but caste I do not like at all. And I would like to see it just got rid of. And that's what Baba Saheb wanted. That's why he wanted people to embrace Buddhism. Because in the Buddha Dhamma there's no caste. We're just human beings with the potential to become Buddhas. Now I know things are quite different, well, somewhat different now, 50 years later. The whole system of caste works in a rather different way to the way it worked 50, 70 years ago. But it's still there. It still undermines confidence, it still undermines dignity. And we still need to get away from it. And the way that Baba Saheb suggested that we got away from caste was by conversion to the Buddha Dhamma. So I invite you to think about this. If you haven't embraced Buddhism, well, think, well, maybe this would be good for you too. Maybe this would give you a stronger sense of your own dignity, of your own worth. And if you have converted to Buddhism, well, maybe you need to think, well, there are many, many people who don't know about the Buddha Dhamma. I don't know what it's like in Goa, but certainly there are many parts of India where still caste oppression is very strong. So there's still a need for people to take the step of conversion. What did Baba Saheb say after his conversion? I feel as if I have been released from hell. He'd been released from the hell of caste. That still applies. So we need, I think, to consider this reason for conversion very strongly indeed. So what about my third reason? And this goes very deep indeed. Baba Saheb struggled for freedom all his life. And he gained perhaps one of the most important responsibilities in modern India. He was asked to take on responsibility for forming the constitution of the Republic of India. And although he had a committee that he worked with, he was more or less single-handed in that work. And yes, he formulated a very modern, very liberal and very effective constitution for India. And he founded that constitution on the principles of liberty, equality and fraternity. And in some ways that was his crowning achievement. But fairly soon after the enactment of the constitution, Baba Saheb became quite dissatisfied. You remember he tried to pass the Hindu Code Bill, which would have given Indian women full rights. But the forces of counter-revolution prevented that bill from passing. And this was obviously a tremendous shock to Babasaheb. He realized that there were very strong forces in Indian society which wanted to keep things as they had been. And to him it seemed that something very deep needed to change in Indian society. And he came to the conclusion that there needed to be a reform in the mentality of Indians. He said, caste is a notion, it's a state of mind. It doesn't exist out there in the world. That's why I, an Englishman, can't see it. It's not a fact. It's a state of mind, it's a way of thinking. And I, as an Englishman, don't have that way of thinking. But all Indians have it. Whether they're so-called high or so-called low. They all have that mentality. So Babasaheb said it's that mentality that has to change. How to change it? Well, Babasaheb said that in the end, there needs to be Dhamma. There needs to be hard work on yourself in order to bring about that change. And he said that there's no liberty, equality and fraternity unless a man follows the path of the Buddha. By following the path of the Buddha, one changes one's whole mentality so that one acts in accordance with Sila. As a result of acting in accordance with Sila, you naturally behave towards others on the basis of liberty, equality and fraternity. So for there to be a political and social revolution in India, the Buddha Dhamma is necessary as a basis. Not just for the downtrodden masses, but for all. Babasaheb's dream was of a Buddhist India. On the day of the conversion, in a press conference, he said that he thought that was quite possible in 10 or 15 years. After all, in the greatest period of Indian history, at the time of Samrat Ashoka, India had been a Buddhist country. And Babasaheb thought that that age could dawn again. But it would only dawn when a great majority of Indian citizens embraced the Buddha Dhamma. They stop thinking in terms of caste. They would just see each other as brothers and sisters in the same great nation. So Babasaheb saw that the Buddha Dhamma was the basis for liberty, equality and fraternity in the whole of society. So his conversion to the Buddha Dhamma was for all Indian citizens. In fact, it was for all citizens all over the world. This is why I consider myself a follower of Babasaheb. His vision was not just of an India based on liberty, equality and fraternity, but a world based on liberty, equality and fraternity. So he converted not just for personal reasons. He didn't just convert for the sake of those from the same community and communities as him. Not just to give them dignity and freedom. He converted to change India, to change the world. And brothers and sisters, that work is not complete. There's still a long way to go to really bring liberty, equality and fraternity to India, indeed to the whole world. So I'd like you to think very carefully about these issues. And to reflect on your own position. Perhaps you have some other ideas. That's perfectly possible. This is a free world. But I think it would be very good if we all thought very carefully about the question of conversion in this period. Baba Sahib was a very serious thinker. He was a man who dedicated his life to other people. He was a very great man indeed. And I think we owe it to him to reflect deeply on this, his final action. And if we're seriously consider ourselves his followers, we need to reflect on how this bears on us. So I hope that I've made you think of it. And I hope that in this period, we can begin to relaunch Baba Sahib's work. I think in October, on October the 14th, 2006, we should see a whole new surge of conversions. I keep hearing that this group of people and that group of people are thinking of converting in 2006. I say, why wait till 2006? If it's worth being a Buddhist, it's worth being a Buddhist now. But let's get that movement going again. Otherwise, Baba Sahib will just be a picture that we have on the wall. Be just somebody we garland. We really honour Baba Sahib when we do his work. Yes, that work is political. That's a very important aspect of his work. That work is educational. That's a very, very important aspect of his work. That work is social. But more than anything, the crowning aspect of his work was his conversion to Buddha Dhamma. So thank you very much. So, some questions now?
Baba Sahib, आणि लोकांचे कधी कधी असा दृष्टिकोन असतो की बाबासाहेबांनी आर्थिक लाभाकरता किंवा राजकीय लाभाकरता धर्मांतर केलेला आहे. इव्हन जे स्वतः उद्दिष्ट आहे बाबासाहेबांचे अनुयायी आहे ते पण प्रश्न करतात की धर्मांतर कोण आमदार आहे. धर्मांतर हे बाबासाहेबांचा आर्थिक लाभाकरता होतो की राजकीय लाभाकरता होतो हा प्रश्न सुगंधी त्याचा त्यांनी तो उल्लेख केला नाही तर हा माझा अनुभव आहे. परंतु यांच्या बाबासाहेबांनी ज्या तीन कारणाकरता धर्मांतर करून धर्मांतर करण्याचा उद्देश होताच पण बौद्ध धर्म घेण्याचा असं त्यांचा तीन कायदा असेल की त्याने नमूद केली आहे. पहिली गोष्ट बाबासाहेबांना म्हणतो कोणी असो कोणत्याही समाजात असो श्रीमंत असो किंवा गरीब असो त्याला सर्वात मोठी भूक असते आध्यात्मिक समाज संतुष्टी आणि तो आध्यात्मिक समाज संतुष्टी आहे ही आध्यात्मिक विकासातूनच प्राप्त होते आणि त्याच्याकरता बुद्ध धर्माशिवाय दुसरा कुठलाही पर्याय नाही हे बाबासाहेबांना स्पष्ट माहिती होतं आणि त्याच कारणाकरता बाबासाहेबांनी हाच बौद्ध धर्माचा स्वीकार केला. दुसरी गोष्ट ज्या समाजाकरता बाबासाहेबांना समाजाची काळजी होती तो समाज जो शोषित समाज म्हणून घडला जातो तो ह्याच कारणामुळे शोषित होता की त्याच्यामध्ये गुरुगण्य होता आत्मविश्वासाचा अभाव होता आणि तो पिढ्यानपिढ्या जातीय प्रवृत्तीमुळे त्याच्यावरती होता आपला गेला होता त्याच्यावरती संस्कृत संस्कारित केलेला गेला होता आणि त्याच्यातून त्या न्यूनगणातून बाहेर येण्याकरता जो जुना धर्म होता तो जातीय आधारित धर्म होता तो सोडणं हा एक पर्याय होता आणि त्याला पर्याय म्हणून एक नवीन जो शरीरांचे संतान स्वातंत्र्य आणि बंधुत्व ह्याचा अंतर्भाव आहे त्याच्यावरती अधिष्ठित जो धर्म आहे तो धर्म म्हणजे बौद्ध धर्मच म्हणून बाबासाहेबांनी तो बौद्ध धर्माचा स्वीकार केला की जेणेकरून आपण न्यूनगंडग्रस्त लादलेला असा जातीयतावरती आधारित धर्म सोडून आपण संतान स्वातंत्र्य बंधुत्वावर आधारित धर्म स्वीकारू शकतो. आणि सर्वात शेवटी त्यांचं म्हणणं आहे की जाती या भारतातूनच केवळ या दलित शोषित लोकांकरता नाही सर्व मानव जातीला सर्व भारतीयांना जर सुखी करायचा असेल तर त्यांना जाती प्रवृत्ती नष्ट करणाराच धर्म म्हणून कर्तव्य देणार होता. आणि बौद्ध धर्म हाच असा एक धर्म आहे की खऱ्या अर्थाने माणसातल्या मनात बिंबलेली जातीय प्रवृत्ती नष्ट करण्यामध्ये मदत करू शकते अशा अर्थाने आदरणीय यांनी आपले विचार मांडलेले आहेत. त्यांनी थोडक्यात धावतं आपल्या समोर विचार फेकलेले आहेत. मला कल्पना आहे या धावत्या विचाराने आपलं समाधान होऊ शकत नाही तरी ह्या विषयाला आधारित आपल्या मनात काही शंका असतील प्रश्न असतील आपण ते विचारू शकता आणि शक्यतो आदरणीय त्याचं समाधान करू शकतील अशी अपेक्षा आहे. आणि आपण जास्तीत जास्त आधारात या विषयावरती अधिक चर्चा करून असा समाधान आपल्या उपस्थित स्वतः वर्गातून काही कुठेतरी जे आता आपल्या समोर प्रकरण केलं त्याच्यातून काही प्रश्न उपप्रश्न किंवा शंका निर्माण झाल्या असतील आपण हात उभा करून त्या मानू शकता सुरुवातीच्या केंद्र असतील.
I suppose you'd have to say anything is possible. And perhaps it is quite unlikely that the whole world will gain that sort of equality. But there certainly have been periods in history when there's been a greater degree of justice than at other times. So we can strive as much as we can to bring equality. Perhaps we'll never fully succeed.
Uh,
But yes, human beings have a strong tendency to dominate. But nonetheless, we can strive to bring as much equality as we can. Perfection is perhaps not possible, but we can get quite a long way. And we can certainly do a lot better than we're doing now.
As already said, to get rid of caste system, especially in India, we have to convert. But when we see conversion, so the main things first we come to our mind that if we convert as a whole, that first we get rid of reservation. And that's the main source for, as far as caste system in India is concerned, we see there are so many deprivation, social, then religion, then cultural, educational, then secondly economical, in terms of services. So the people just stay scared if we get convert. So we don't get this reservation policy. So ultimately we are blocking our development. So in other states, there are the reservation for the new Buddhist, people are now Buddha. But especially in Goa, there is no answer. So especially, I think when the conversion has took place at the Baba Saheb Ambedkar first century celebration, that was 13 and 14 from 1991, and I am one of the members from that. So since then, there is no conversion taken place in Goa. So after that, people are scared, if we convert, we won't get any reservation. So in terms, we won't be developing ourselves socially, educationally or financially. So I would like to explain.
So it's not so much a question more of a... Yes, I can understand that. Is that clear in Marathi? Well, I certainly can quite understand the concern. I do know that reservation has enabled people to raise their standard very much. So I quite appreciate concern that conversion may spoil those chances. Of course, this was a problem in 1956. And Baba Saheb had to face this too. The Maharashtra state government did not give reservations to Buddhists for, I think, some 20 years. But many people converted and nothing went wrong. So perhaps if enough of you converted together, well, you can change things. Perhaps there also needs to be some political struggle to gain those rights. But at the same time, perhaps you need to have some courage and confidence in yourselves. Human dignity is very, very deeply important. And if you embrace Buddhism, that dignity and confidence will grow enormously. And then you can face those problems. But I think particularly that can be done if a number of you convert together. But your brothers and sisters in Maharashtra faced this 50 years ago. And several of my friends have told me that they converted even though they knew it lost them reservation. And they've been okay. Perhaps we can. The question is a complex one. Perhaps I've said as much as I can say. I'm not an Indian. I don't understand Indian politics. But I think the main thing is that these questions have been faced elsewhere. And as you say, the Mandal Commission did give those rights. They just need to be struggled for.
परंतु हे खरी गोष्ट आहे की त्यांना अशा प्रकारे कर्मांतरानंतर सुद्धा मंडळ आहे त्यामुळे काही अधिक सवलत उपलब्ध करून दिली आहे.
But if this is a real reason why people are holding back, you need to come together and think through what you're going to do about it. Somebody will want your votes. Somebody will be willing to make some move to change the position. So it's just a question of facing the issue and making the necessary changes. But we really need to be careful that fear does not hold us back. We need to face the problems and deal with them. If we don't face those problems, will we remain in the old situation? It's the new form of casteism. Other issues? Different subject?
Yeah. Actually, one of the reasons why Dr. Ambedkar embraced Buddhism, in your analysis, you said the number two is to get liberated from the caste system.
Right.
I agree with you. That was one of the reasons. Because Dr. Ambedkar felt that could happen. I will give, since you are in Goa, I will give a concrete example.
Concrete example, right.
In Goa, what happened? In Goa, the Christianity came in the 16th century. And there was mass conversion here. People converted to Christianity. Many felt, some were possible, but many voluntarily also, thinking that they will be getting the equal treatment, equality and all that. That was the motive behind it. After 450 years, then we are liberated now, in 1961. Presently, in Goa, among the Catholic community, you will see that advertisements are coming in the newspapers that a Catholic Brahmin of such and such a subcaste desires to marry a Catholic Brahmin of such and such a subcaste that has come in. So whether my basic question is whether religion can really solve this Indian society's cancer. Indian society's cancer can be cured by religion.
Marathi mein?
त्यांनी उदाहरण सांगितलंय की 400 वर्षापासून गोव्यामध्ये धर्मांतर झालं आणि त्यांनी आपल्याला समानता मिळावी म्हणून सामाजिक दर्जा आपला उंचावा म्हणून धर्मांतर केलं. परंतु आजही 400 वर्षानंतर वर्तमानपत्रात आपण जाहिरात पाहतो की अमुक कॅथोलिक ब्राह्मण अमुक जातीच्या व्यक्तीसाठी अमुक कॅथोलिक ब्राह्मण अमुक जातीची मुलगी वधू पाहिजे. अजूनही ही जात अस्तित्वात आहे. प्रश्न हा आहे की खरंच भारताच्या जाती भारताला लागलेला हा जो रोग आहे जातीचा कॅन्सर जो आहे त्यासाठी धर्म ही एक औषध होऊ शकतं.
Well, I think it's certainly an extremely pertinent question. Accurate question. And because we've seen that casteism has invaded not just Christianity, Islam, Sikhism, Parsis, all have been infected by casteism. It's an extremely persistent system. And although I do think that the Buddha Dhamma is a somewhat different religion in this respect, more than just conversion is needed. But the Buddha Dhamma has the idea of equality very deeply embedded within it. So if people really practice the Buddha Dhamma, well then yes, there would be a big change. But I think something else needs to go on. Balasaheb in The Annihilation of Caste said there were two things necessary for the destruction of caste. The first was interdining. Well, that's not really so much of an issue anymore. The main thing is intermarriage. I think this is the big challenge. The casteism will not go until there's intermarriage between castes. And so I think there's quite concrete action as well as a change in mentality. But if we do convert to Buddhism, we need to see that as the leaving behind of caste. And we need to think that we're prepared to marry our sons and daughters to people from other communities. This is very, very difficult for India. I don't really understand it, but I've studied it through my friends. Probably all of you know the experience. You can be very much in favour of getting rid of caste in theory.
कारण जे सैद्धांतिक पातळीवर जातीचं पूर्ण नष्ट झाले पाहिजे जात ह्याच्या पूर्ण आपण सावध असतो.
When it comes to your son or your daughter, it's another matter. But it's up to you. Do you want a caste-based society or not? If you're only prepared to marry your sons and daughters to members of your own community, then you must face the consequences. Being a Buddhist means getting rid of that whole mentality. And it means getting rid of the mentality that your sons and daughters will only be safe if they marry within the same community. Baba Sahib, I think, tried to give an example himself. But of course, people were very suspicious of what he'd done. I've heard some people say they think that Savitabai probably poisoned him. But that's casteism again. I think this is the business end of getting rid of caste. As long as Indians continue to marry on a caste basis, caste will continue. It is breaking down in some educated sections of society. But I've noticed amongst my Buddhist friends there's a tendency more for people to marry outside the old community. So we must embrace Buddhism fully. Otherwise, Buddhism is just a caste. And that's what the danger is now. It's just the Mahas called now Buddhists. Unless there are people from other communities who convert and mix fully, even with marriage, it's just another caste. So I think this is the crucial issue. One must live equality. The other day I was looking through the classified advertisements of the Times of India. I wasn't looking for a wife. I'm an anagarika, so I don't need a wife. But I'm just interested by the advertisements. So there are all sorts of kayasthas and marwaris and so on. And there was just one Buddhist. Under the heading Buddhist, just one person advertising for a daughter-in-law. And I was really pleased, underneath it said, caste does not matter. So I thought, that's really good. Now I know that inter-caste marriage is not always easy. There's some tensions because different customs, different ways of thinking. But it is the only way caste is going to finish. ओके
हा हा शेवटचा प्रश्न आपल्याला दादू हा शेवटचा
प्रश्न
एक मिनिट आहे एक मिनिट आहे स्टेटमेंट प्रॉब्ली रादर क्वेश्चन सुबोधी अशा
केअरपूसे वास्को
हा थँक्यू थँक्यू
The truth of the cause of suffering, the truth of the end of suffering,
the truth of his path leading to the end of the truth. But there is a question from this deviant that is it possible to start any social thing in your deviant so that we, what is, whatever our sufferings are there, now presently, those who are already converted, are you going to say this we are Buddhists? So, as we can we get through your social thing, that any help, so that our sufferings can be reduced.
Right, yeah.
And I don't see anything there that there is any social being and all that. Because today you have come, you have preached us, you have given a big lecture.
Yeah.
So are you going to, you, very big lecture.
Right.
You'll go anywhere. Back.
And then I'll go back.
I'll go back.
Yeah.
But our suffering is different.
Yeah.
So something should be done. That is one question. Second important thing, our, this Buddhist people, those who are already converted, are going to convert. Can I just say, one question, somebody else was there, 91. Many people are converted to Buddhism. Okay. So our, through your preaching, through your lecture, please inform our people that they should not put their legs in two boats. When we are Buddhists, we should follow 22
yes,
boats
yes,
of
yes.
The Bhagavad Gita given on 14th October
1956. Right.
And Mahatma Grant and Bhante Suri Sai in Nagpur, you might be knowing about him, he said that those who are against 22 boats, they are against the Prophet, they are against Buddha. Thank you very much.
Right. Marathi Made? The Chota statement. Or should I just answer? Maybe I can just answer, and by answering, I can quote the question, as it were. So, first of all, let me just say I thoroughly agree with the questioner that conversion means taking the 22 vows. And the 22 vows really consist in leaving behind the old beliefs. And committing yourself to the actual practice of the Buddha Dhamma. And that is very important indeed. So the second question, or rather the first question, was what about social projects? And I do very much agree that as Buddhists we must respond to the real suffering of people around us. And TBMSG does run two hostels here in Goa. And those hostels have been founded with support from a charity that we run in England. The Karuna Trust has provided capital and initial running costs. So we are able to help in to some degree. But we're very keen that also work is done locally. We like to do a partnership. We see our job as helping people to help themselves. We feel that if we don't take care, people just become dependent. And what we want to do is to help people to stand up on their own feet and help themselves. So if there are good projects which are carefully thought out and which have some idea about future running costs, we can help. And we do consider this very important. But we have quite high standards. We investigate quite carefully to see that the project is properly thought through. And we want to make sure that in the future that project will be independent and self-financing. So if there is a project like that, you can talk to the chairman of our local or rather Indian overall trust. Archila Dhamma is the chairman of the Bahujan Hitai Western India Trust. And he can pass on your request to the Karunar Trust in London. But actually I think a lot more can be done locally. India is actually quite a rich country. I correct that. There's a lot of money with some people in India. And, well, it's just a question of getting that money out of their pockets. And we can help you there too. Sometimes it's a question of asking for the money in the right way. But I think it's very important that Buddhists do social work. And that we keep on remembering the very poor people still amongst us. But our own order considers this a very important aspect of our work in India. But we try to make sure that money is not wasted and that money is not misappropriated. You know that so many Western aid organizations pour money straight into the pocket of politicians. They don't realize that. They think they're giving it to the poor people. But it goes into the pocket of people who don't need it. So we want to make sure that the money is used well. So we do have quite high standards. But we certainly want to help. We want to help people to help themselves. We should have the confidence ourselves to do things. And I know that there are good things being done here in Goa. Good.
आपण त्याच्यावरती कशी मात करू शकतो.